Today is the beginning of a new year, and it feels like the end of an old year, right? We're right at that critical point, a place where we look back on what has been, and we think ahead to what could be. It's a time when we often make resolutions. What do I want to change? I strongly recommend going through different parts of your life. What do we want to change in our devotional pattern? What do we want to change about what we consume every night? Shall we watch less TV and read more books? Shall we engage more friends? Shall we have more people over? You know, those sorts of conversations I think are really, really helpful to have, to think about. God, where do you want me to point my life? How shall I be faithful to you? So it's a time for goal setting. And I don't mean those kinds of resolutions that are gone tomorrow. I mean real, thoughtful resolutions. So I strongly encourage that. This theme, this sermon, has a goal. And it just has one point, and it has one goal. And you'll be able to figure it out pretty soon. It centers on Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is praise the Lord, which in the Hebrew is halal. It's that hard ch. So I want you to practice that. Halal. Dutch people should be good at this if you're Dutch. Halal. Now do it with some, you know, abdomen behind it, because it means to shout. Shout to Yah, which is Yahweh. Shout to the Lord. So this time, ready? Halal Yah. Shout to God. Right? Shout to God. Praise God. Shout to God in His sanctuary. Have you ever seen Korean worship? And they have a thing that's unique to them, as far as I know, which they will closest we come is on Easter, I think, when we do that, you know, He is risen, He is risen, you know, and if we get into it a little bit, see those Korean shouts of praise, and something just unlocks in that. Shout to God in His sanctuary, praise you, God, you know, just hear people just shouting praise to God, like we're at a Seahawks game, except this time, we're cheering God. So we often use Psalm 150. It's a favorite in liturgy, in worship services, to begin worship services with Psalm 150. Because the words just are so fitting, right? Praise God with dancing, with tambourines, with stringed instruments, with cymbals and resounding cymbals, and let's just have a great time shouting praises to God. That's a great call to worship. But is it a call to worship in the way it's used in Scripture? Or the fact that it appears at the end of 150 Psalms, and it is the summation, maybe it's more like a postlude or a reflecting back. It's maybe just a doxology that says, praise God. An exclamation point on all that's gone before. We'll see it in a little bit. The word halal occurs, and by the way, the Hebrew goes from right to left, and that thing that looks like an N is an H and two L's, and the little cross and the little dash are the vowels. Underneath, that's the way Hebrew is read, and I used to be able to kind of read it enough to get through seminary, and that was just barely there. You know, they said, John, as long as you don't write any commentaries, we'll let you go on, because your Hebrew really isn't up to snuff, but, you know, I got there. So, halal occurs 165 times in the Bible, and it usually means the second one, to praise, to boast, to be boastful, to shout, is the way I remember it. Halal, to shout, to praise. But it also means that sort of to shine, to flash forth light or glory. And I think about that in black culture or maybe it's just more southern, where if you're just amazed by something, you might say, glory, right? Oh, glory, which would be, oh, my soul is rejoicing. My soul is exuding praise. It's boasting. I feel a need. But then how do you get from that to make a fool of, or to act madly, or act like a madman? How does that work? Well, I think we see it in sports. We see the boasting after a touchdown and the stupid dances you see done, right? It's just like, I look at that, and now we just see it as normal. But just watch it if you're watching football, and watch those antics that grown men are doing in the end zone. Nowhere else in life would you see people doing things like that. It's boastful. It's like over the top. And if you just kind of look at it a little bit dispassionately, you can say, those guys are out of their minds, right? Or you can see that in kind of trash talk of sports or different areas of life, where things go from like being boasting to being like ridiculous. And so you can see how praise, shouting, boasting can move into kind of like over the top, okay? So that's the word cloud, if you will, that the word hallel covers. It's from glory, shout to God, to like trash talk, okay? But I don't think trash talk is what we're talking here. The Psalms, just kind of a 10,000 foot view here. The Psalms, many have noticed, are divided into five sections. And some have called the Psalms like a new Torah. You know, the five books of Moses, the Torah. The Psalms, some have called it like a new Torah because they see five sections in it. I don't know how strong that is or how deep that goes. But five sections are quite clear. And we see at the end of each section the sort of exclamation point. In section 1 to 41, it ends with this verse.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
And that praise is halal. Halal to God. Okay? Second section, 42 to 72, ends with these words.
Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise be! Praise be! 73 to 89 ends this way. Hallelujah. 90 to 106.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then the last section ends with Psalm 150, which we've already looked at. Hallelujah. Sorry. Try that again. That's why Hebrews always carried a glass of water with. So they could talk. So the Psalms have five sections, and each section ends with this call to shout to God. Praise God. So the Psalms have been called like a book of instruction in the faith for a life of godliness, or it's been called a prayer book for all occasions. Whatever it is, the Psalms are deeply loved by all Christians because it does reflect how to pray to God, how to talk to God. And we come to dearly love the Psalms. We use the Psalms a lot in our worship and in our liturgies as we talk back to God. But I want to ask this morning, back to that question of the placement of Psalm 150. Praise God. It's a summation of all that's gone before. And here's the point. I think Psalm 150, and I think the structure of the Psalms all ending in a doxology every time, is telling us that Hallel Yah, praise God, or as we would say, Hallelujah, or praise God is fine, are something that ought to be on our lips. We should have that as a part of our regular vocabulary. Now, it would be kind of strange for me to go around at our ready mix plant and just say, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. I mean, people would think I was nuts. But to have an attitude of praise, to say praise God as a response, let me nail a couple of examples before we go on. I watched my grandson, Titus. Our dishwasher was unloaded, and my wife noticed it. And she looked at me, and that's not something I do very often, so it's like, did you unload the dishwasher? I said, no, I didn't. Well, I wonder who did. Who unloaded the dishwasher? Well, Titus said, yeah, I did. And my wife said, Titus, you are so thoughtful. And you see what needs to be done, and you do it. I love that about you. I love the way you just pitch in without being told, and you just do something. And Titus just like grinned. What my wife didn't say was, thank you. Which is, I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What she chose instead to do was praise him. There's a difference between thanks and praise. The praise went deep. See, a thank you is saying, this was my job and you did it, thank you. A praise is, this is your character and you lived it out. Worthy are you. You see the difference? Let's take a sunrise. One of the favorite parts of driving a ready-mix truck is watching sunrises in the morning. In part because it's that point where you can actually see more, which makes you feel a little better as a driver. But it's also just the joy of watching the pinks, the deep dark to the deep blue to the light blue to the pinks to the rise of the sun to all of a sudden you don't need street lights anymore. And it's just like a glorious thing to watch. And my heart worships as I watch this. And I could say, and often do say, thank you, God. But God didn't make that sunrise for me alone, you know? It's not like, thank you, God, because I control the universe and I'm my personal little, you know, check that one off. No. A better response, a deeper response, is to say, oh God, you are so creative. Father, your imagination is new every morning. I see this creation as a reflection of your power and your might and your glory. Praise be to you, God. You see the difference? You feel the difference? To say, Hallelujah, God, is deeper and more significant than just saying, thank you, God. And both are fine. I am not preaching against saying, oh, don't say thank you, God. No, do that. But I'm hoping and encouraging us to adopt Hallelujah as a part of who we are in our spirit, in our outlook on life, in this year, 2023, that this might be one of our resolutions to say, I want to be a praised-filled person. But now let's go deeper. Psalm 150 sits at the end of 149 other psalms. And I want us to just look at some of the psalms of David and realize that every one of those psalms ends with this exclamation point of hallelujah. So we look, for instance, at Psalm 3. This is headed by saying this is when David fled from his son Absalom. There's tumult. There's, betrayal by his own son. His own son is trying to take the throne away from him. He loves his son, and yet he's ripped apart. He has to flee his throne. You feel the turmoil in his heart? And he says, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying God will not deliver him. But I can sleep because the Lord is with me. He sustains me. I will not fear tens of thousands drawn up on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, O my God. What you don't see there is hallelujah. We look at Psalm 4. This one, with stringed instruments, it says, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me. Hear my prayer. How long? How long? Lord, when will this end? Anyone who's lived any amount of time has faced periods in their life where you've had that question cry out, how long, O Lord, will we ever get through this? What we don't see there is hallelujah. Psalm 5, also from David. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I lay in expectations. Now, here's a part of life which is sweet. Many, many people talk about the morning as being a time when God draws near to them. That place between awake and asleep is precious to me, especially on the mornings that I pray. And I just ask God, what do you want this morning? What do you need to finish in this message? What do you want people to hear? And I just listen. And it's surprising how often God will whisper something in my ear. What I mean is he gives me a thought. For instance, this morning, I had prepared this message for Monroe around Thanksgiving time. And I thought, well, this would be good for the new year. And I don't have a manuscript, I just have the slides, and I know I had written things in that first manuscript, but I couldn't remember the examples. And this morning the Lord's brought them back to mind, like I could see them almost written out. It's like, oh, the dishwasher story. Oh yeah, the creation story. Yes. And the Lord just brings that back. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for in the morning. God to speak. Psalm 6. Lord, be merciful to me. I'm faint. Heal me. My bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? Deliver me. I'm worn out. Again, we see life being played out in the psalm. Psalm 7. When he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjaminite, O Lord, I take refuge in you. Save me. Deliver me. Or they'll tear me like a lion. David spent a lot of his life fleeing enemies, didn't he? Even before he was king, and Saul was pursuing him. And he lived in caves, and he had his band of merry men and fought for Israel. David spent a lot of his life living on the ground with people pursuing him. But also, Psalm 8. We sang, or someone sang it for us this morning as we opened worship. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. You can see David maybe being a shepherd and just looking out at the stars and just praising God and his soul being lifted up. For so many of us, creation is a touch point to the spiritual. It's a touch point to the holy. There was a time in my life where I was quite depressed, and I would say faith had come down to like a thread. And I even wondered, is this all real? And I was driving near Faith Community Fellowship. There's a woods just before you get to the Big Lake, not Big Lake Bar and Grill, but that one on the corner. And there's that woods there. And I was driving through that woods and looking at the trees, and a series of thoughts just came right in. Just thinking, wow, look at this grandeur. Look at this beauty. Look at the marvels of this creation. Could have I done this? Could have human beings done this? Was this done by chance? No, there has to be a creator. Yes, and there's a creator. And it's good, but also I know it's not good. And the Bible tells me that story about good and not good, and good and evil, and how God overcomes the evil. And it was just like boom, 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 boom. Through seeing creation was the beginning of a rebuilding in me of faith. I think for many of us, creation is a touchstone, a foundation point of saying, oh yeah, we are not alone. Oh yeah, there is someone, somewhere out there who is bigger, grander, more powerful. There has to be a reason for living. There has to be a reason for living beyond this life. Or else, what is it all worth? Kinds of thoughts that come to us at the change of the year. What are we living for? Creation, to me, roots a lot of faith. Just by being able to open up and see, oh God, hallelujah. Creation calls forth praise in me. Psalm 18, David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of the song when the Lord delivered him from his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Psalm 19, again, a psalm of praise. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 23, as he's a shepherd. Psalm 56, to the tune of the dove on distant oaks. You know that one, right? The dove? No, I don't either. When the Philistines had seized him in Gath. Well, this is when David pretended to be crazy. To the tune of Do Not Destroy, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Psalm 51, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So we see in the Psalms this kind of life, a life that needs confession, a life of celebrating creation, a life of illnesses, a life of threats on life, a life of hiding, a life of God feels far away. My God, why have you forsaken me? Of not understanding of what's going on. Oh, how long? How long, O Lord? All of that is reflected in the Psalms. All of that is there, and yet all of that is completed by Hallelujah. Shout to the Lord. All of that is completed by a boasting of God. And we experience this. We look back at chapters of our life, dark passages, hard passages, things that we wish hadn't gone that way. Things that we would say, if I could write the book, I wouldn't have that chapter in it. And yet, even through those dark passages, we find that God works in our hearts, works in our souls, and I will never say, oh, this happened because God was trying to teach you a lesson. That's just plain wrong and plain cruel. But I can say that in the tough passages of life, I found my faith to grow deeper and stronger. And I have found that in the times when life is going well and everything seems easy and comfortable, that those are the times that I tend to drift away from my dependence on God. What I've seen is that life is full of confession and illness and how long and threats and dark outlooks and pandemics and all kinds of journeys of life. But I see that God is there. He anchors it all. He roots it all. He understands it all, even when I don't. And so I ask this resolution from us this morning, or at least consider it, to make Hallel Yah a bigger part of your being and vocabulary. When you feel the urge to say, thank you, God, can you move it into praise you, God? So that we're moving from that individual, like, thank you, God, you did this for me, to praise you, God, your character is awesome. Can we do that in our dark spots? Can we do that in our how long spots? Can we do that in our why spots? Can we do that in our creative spots? Hallel Yah. Hallel Yah in his sanctuary. Hallel Yah in his mighty heavens. Hallel Yah for his acts of power. Hallel Yah for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes and crash of cymbals and resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath, Hallel Yah! Hallel Yah. Amen.